the type of entertainment that we're going to have on each area, it'll be a combination of ballet folklorico, mainly from a lot of the student companies. We try to give the students some kind of gigs for them to do and make a little money to buy their costumes and things like that. It's versus professional dance companies and all that. We stick a lot with the neighborhood schools and the students. And so a lot of these singers are high school kids, very good singers. They sing the tracks, mariachi music, and different kind of musica mexicana. And then we also have the two Aztec dance companies from Houston.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Spotlight Houston, where we bring you the best of the people, places, and events in Houston. This week we sat down with Lupe Olivares for details on the East End Street Fest, held Saturday, May 4th, 2024, from 12 to 6 p.m. We also talked with Abuela Mapi Rainflower, founder of the Aztec Dance and Drum Group, about culture and dance. This is episode 85, with an original air date of Sunday, April 28th, 2024. And now your host, Blanca Quesada.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining me on Spotlight Houston today. The time is almost here to go out and party and celebrate a very important Mexican holiday in our community, and that's Cinco de Mayo. I can't wait. There are many places around Houston that are going to be hosting celebrations, and they're going to be great. But I think the best place to celebrate is at the East End Street Festival because it's free and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot to do. Plus, it's for the entire family. I've invited Lupe Olivares, director of the East End Street Festival, to give us all the scoop. And Abuela Mapi, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Mapi,
yes.
Founder of the Houston Aztec Dance and Drum Group. Her group will be one of several performers at the festival. So welcome, Lupe and Abuela. How are you?
Thank you.
Very well. Thank you.
For our listeners that aren't very familiar with the East End, Lupe, would you tell us where it's located and give us a little bit of its history?
Yes, it really has a colorful history. It's known as the birthplace of Houston, the whole East End. And so we're really proud of that. We're an industrial old part of town, and we really are roots here. It's been the home to many immigrants going back 150 or more years from all over Europe and all over South, all kind of people coming here over the years. So yeah, the East End it's colorful, and we're real proud that we have a lot of mixed cultures in our neighborhood.
And it's located very close to downtown, right?
Yes, it starts just south of George R. Brown into the Barrio Segundo, which is Second Ward. And it also here in the last few years, a different area has propped up called the Edo. And as you go south, and you'll enter Eastwood and other neighborhoods such as Magnolia and neighborhoods around Gus Worthen Park. So it's historical, and it's a pretty good sized chunk of the inner city, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's really easy to get to. And the street where the festival is happening, is it still on Navigation?
Yes, it's the historic Navigation Esplanade. Pretty much starting where La Virgen de Guadalupe Church is. And it goes south on Navigation there to where Ninfas, the original Ninfas, is. So those three blocks are, we're in our 14th year. We block the street. There's no traffic. And it's those three blocks, plus another side block that we host a lowrider car show, and it's our kids' zone. But on the Esplanade, and we have five different areas of entertainment going on at the same time.
I was going to ask you, the festival is taking place on Navigation Street, and it seems to be getting bigger and bigger every year. I know that you've added more stages, right?
We shut down 2 years during the COVID, And then it took us a couple of years to start getting it back up again. Last year was our best year coming back from COVID. We had mm-hmm. a real good presence. We had, over the 6 hours, we had about 6,000 people come out to see us over 6 hours from 12 wow. to 6. So yes, hopefully we continue the upward trend, inviting people from all over the city to come and discover the roots and the birthplace of Houston.
Yeah, definitely. What else can people experience when they're at the festival?
The type of entertainment that we're going to have on each area, it'll be a combination of ballet folklorico, mainly from a lot of the student companies. We try to give the students some kind of gigs for them to do and make a little money to buy their costumes and things like that. It's versus professional dance companies and all that. We stick a lot with the neighborhood schools and the students. And so a lot of these singers are high school kids, very good singers. They sing the tracks, mariachi music, and different kind of musica mexicana. And then we also have the two Aztec dance companies from Houston, some of the longest standing ones here, some of the what we call the Las Raices, the ones that started it. and we have as a guest here today. And we do have a ballet folklorico from Bolivia that they live in Houston. They're called Caporales de San Simón, and Bolivian folkloric music also. We'll have some Colombian from the bands Son Bayou. Oh. We're going to have over 35 different performers, whether they're a solo or they're in a group. So yeah, we're going to accommodate over 60, 80 performers, if you count everybody.
Yeah, definitely lots to do and lots to see. Are you going to have the arts and crafts and vendors yes. there as well?
Oh yeah. In fact, today I met with Rene Gonzalez from Milby High School, and he always brings out the face painters. And the kids get their face painted there all day long. They love it. And private arts and crafts, people that make all kinds of leather gifts and paintings, homemade stuff, along with plenty to eat. I think we have 4 food trucks and plus the restaurants that are right there supporting.
Like you mentioned, Ninfas, the original Ninfas is there.
The original Ninfas is there. Merida's also, Doña Maria's is there. Those three right
on. El Tiempo is also there.
Just a little bit south of there, El Tiempo, and a few other restaurants. But we're also going to have, to accommodate that many people, we bring in at least 4 food trucks.
And probably this year you're going to get about 10,000 people instead of 6,000 people.
Let's hope so. Our listeners here on Spotlight Houston can spread the word. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is the best opportunity to party. And also, you were about to mention that there's an area for little kids as well. You mention what's happening in the kids zone this year?
Yes. Some of our law enforcement partners, such as the Sheriff's Department and Precinct 6, are going to be, and I believe and HPD are going to be bringing out some of the squad cars and the SWAT truck and the helicopters. And the kids love to climb in there and press the buttons. We'll have that. They're just going to have a blast, you know?
Something different that they don't get to do. So tell us about the special car exhibit that you're going to have. Is it like lowrider cars?
Yes. These are some of the best lowrider cars in the East End.
And they're again.
The oldies from the 40s all the way to the 70s and 80s. It's a family tradition and it's family-oriented type of a show car exhibit. There'll be some young kids singing. There's a couple girls singing to Selena songs and stuff like that. So it's a fun, friendly atmosphere.
So I know that I liked some of the t-shirts that were being sold. Those were really nice.
Yes. Ninfas is our t-shirt sponsor this year for staff and volunteer on the t-shirts. And we're very grateful to their help with their sponsorship. Our neighbors, Ninfas, the original Ninfas, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, as I mentioned earlier, your entertainment gets better and better every year, but this year, the Houston Aztec Dance and Drum Group is certainly not one to be missed. I've seen them before and they're just amazing. So Abuela Mapé is, yes. She is the founder of the group, as I mentioned. So Abuela, first of all, can you tell us, I want to let people know that you're not a grandmother. That's just a special name you have. So how did you get this name?
Really quickly, I'm a part of a council of grandmothers from Tenochtitlan, Mexico City. And it's from the years of work I've done in Danza de la Luna. So I became a jefa de la Danza de la Luna in 2019, but I became an abuela in 2016, 17.
Yeah. So they gave that's me the Dance of the Moon, right?
Yes.
The Dance of the Moon.
Yes.
How did you happen to get started in this?
The Danza de la Luna, I learned about it here in Texas from traveling and participating in Native American ceremonies. We call it being on the red road. And my elder in Mexico now, she's 80. She's one of the grandmothers that founded the Danza de la Luna in Mexico. And she was able to come to the United States one more time. Because of COVID, we waited a couple years, but she came 2 years ago. And we siembrad our grupo, and she gave me palabra. And I have been working with the Council of Grandmothers for over 10 years now. So that's how I was able to facilitate ceremony here. And she tells me to use her palabra for danza azteca, mexica, but we don't really have the same kind of palabras the same way, because really we respect the tradition of the concheros that way. And so our style is public. You can be recognized by elders or you cannot. I have done my work in Mexico, so I'm recognized, and I also bridge elders and teachers to come. This weekend we have an elder coming from Guatemala, and she's a Mayan Quiche elder. So we're constantly bridging here in Houston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did you happen to get involved? Because Mexico City is pretty far from Houston.
Yes.
And definitely Aztec knowledge is hard to find here.
Yes.
So how is it that you managed to get all this information and interested?
I think back to my roots in East End, I want to be really clear, like even why we were part of the East End Festival and the work we've done, because Lupe said it's the heart of our city, and most birthplace of Chicanos or Mexican-American, Mexican families are from East End. My mom and my grandmother were both born in the Avenidas in Magnolia. In the same house, I've always had these roots back to East End through my mom's side. And when we started searching for the knowledge as Aztec, Mexica, Chicano descendants here in Houston, and we realized we didn't have really elders. We had the Chicano Studies Department at U of H to go towards. So some of us were machistas, some of us were activists. But for the most part, we realized that we had to go out and do the work ourselves and find elders across the United States. So anybody from the Chicano Moratoriums to the Brown Berets to leaders of the Danza Azteca community. And that's all encompassed under the Plan de Aztlan. So when you do your work as Mexican-American Chicanos and understand the ideology, then you understand that all our roots go back to West Coast, including our Danza Azteca Esplendor. All of our teachers that came from Mexico, Tacuba, came up through San Diego, Los Angeles, the Bay Area, over to Colorado. And then, of course, that's where Plan de Aztlan and everything emerged. And then, of course, it came into Texas. So we are a little behind, I think, when it comes to cultura. But East End Fest, again, is the main reason why we participate. It's not only showcasing community. It's showcasing a lot of the OGs and the performance artists and also people like Chicano Boulevard, who have the roots with the Brown Berets now. And they also have the roots with spinning the oldies and just bringing that onda back. Installing the pride of our community as a whole is really important for our people, because otherwise our future generations are going to lose it. So I adhere to the indigenous traditions. As you can see some of the stuff behind me, I'm the more disciplined, rigorous kind of onda. But they're on the flip side, like you guys said, our people like to party. So what is it? It's the food that we eat, the tamales, the tortillas, the atoles, the chocolates, the mezcals, the beer, all the way.
Tequila.
The tequila, yeah. Brings the people together, right? It's the common bond that we have here. So part of the reason why it's really important for us to not only be in the community and doing the work and bringing it back. So I'm from Northside now, so a lot of my work is in Northside. But when we started this Danza Azteca Tradición, because my peer was Javier Pereira, and he's the head of the other dance group that dances also in this. We started all together under the same teachers. And he's not from Houston. He's from Corpus. And I think his wife is from Austin. But see, we bridge Houston, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. We bridged Aztec dancers to come together and create a conformidad. And when mm-hmm. we did that, the first time we did that was in Mason Park. And then the second time we did it, we started doing it in Eastwood Park. Yeah. And then I branched off and I brought it back to my barrio and I started doing it in Moody Park. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's just
well,
the way
like
the-
you meant, like you mentioned earlier, the festival includes a lot of different things that are part of our Hispanic culture.
Exactly. And it's so, so we're important to bridge so, that between the elders and the kids.
Yeah. So for a lot of kids that will not get to Mexico or haven't been to Mexico, they get to learn about their heritage mm-hmm. going to festivals like this.
Yep.
And especially when you're on the scene with the Azteca dances.
Sometimes. Yeah. No, the vibe is cool, though. I know Lupe, he's so busy putting it together. But let me tell you, when you hit the ground running. You're going to smell the food. You're going to hear the music. You're going to either hear live drumming or a live band going. You might hear mariachis. He's got a parade going in the beginning. It's like all the performance artists are moving every hour on the hour. We're shifting. He's running around, like, making sure he's guiding the
ship. I've seen him.
But it's a vibe.
Like I said, I used to. Yeah, I used to go to the festival each year, and I went last year. And I know that it's so much fun.
It is.
People dancing everywhere, enjoying the music, and then the art and all the crafts. It's just so much fun.
Yes, it's a community bonding coming together through art, music, culture, our heritage. Our group in particular, we dance at the end of the festival. So we always tell people, look for us in the middle. We'll go 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and we end up by the clock, by the lowriders. We end up dancing over by Chicano Boulevard, who are some of my homies too from right here in our neighborhood. So it's very rare that you even see sometimes the barrios mixing like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
North side never went to South side, and South side never went to East End. But here we all are because we're celebrating under the banners of being united as people of color and celebrating our roots and our history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great because you earlier had told me that you were like seventh generation and just to have that in your blood, wanting to know more about your Aztec ancestors and just the cultural traditions. Mm-hmm. That's great.
They left a really great format for us to study. And then with time, you realize that we all come from different tribes. So my family's Ixtotena, I'm Carrizo Comecrudo, Southern Plains, Texan, mixed with Mexican. I don't actually have Teotihuacano or Mexica roots from Mexico, Tenochtitlan. A lot of people don't. But it's, again, it's a cultural tie that we have to a discipline and a form of dance that we can study the structure or the Aztec calendar counts and stuff like that. So we're grateful for the elders and the ancestors that left that behind for our people.
Yeah. So how is it that your teachers taught you these dances? Or were they, how did they find out if these type of dances were original or part of the culture?
So the only ones that we know are for real original are the ones that were caught by the Corporación and the Conchero traditions. And those are they're even stricter traditions than we are. They don't usually come out in public. Those are heredencias that are passed between the families. And that's where you're going to find your mesas, your generals, your captains, your lineages. This form of danza Azteca, public style, Azteca Esplendor, or danza Mexica, it's been revamped in the last 50 years. So they're variations of the original dances, but we're all part of this tradition where we dance for hours. And it's our way of life. It's not just like a show. But we've been given permission to present them with all these feathers or big colorful regalia if we choose to. The idea that we're coming out in public is because we can speak about our culture. We've been versed in the Nahuatl enough. We understand what it is that we're doing. And it's not like we are a little bit different from Ballet Folklorico in the sense that
this is definitely different.
Like some of them tell us, we made this one up. We created, this is a variation of, So they're very clear.
So does each dance, have a meaning?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Either the birds or the horse dance or the fire dance or the water dance. the steps are mathematical and they all have meaning. Every step has a meaning. We could be planting seeds. We could be growing something. We could be spinning like wind. That's a lot of the teachings that we give to our students or to the kids when we do our general public teachings. But for these presentations, we usually just come out and dance. I try to explain a little bit just so that people don't see us just jumping around. But it's a lot.
There's culture that needs to be learned as well in history.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that way they can do it with more enthusiasm and knowing that blood is running in them.
And that there are people keeping it alive in our own neighborhoods still. Yeah. In the inner cities.
Yeah. You also have the drums that are incredible. They're loud. They're loud, but they're good. And do you still have the conchs? I think that's what they call it. Yeah, the conch shells.
And now what? And conch or conchas in Spanish, yes.
Yeah. I'm always amazed at how loud they are when you blow into them. It's like, why are those used?
We use them to call the people. It was the way we were taught that our ancestors used to call people. Obviously, we didn't have speakers and all these electronics, right? So our ancestors were beautiful mathematicians and scientists, and they were able to do things like cut a conch shell and even figure out that's an original trompeta. Or a super large maguey like this is also considered the same way. It's a conch shell, but it's the same concept as a conch shell. But it's literally just a piece of a maguey plant, a huge maguey. So when I blow through this, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've heard them before, and I've seen some Aztec dancers doing a blessing to the earth. And so they turn to all sides of the east, the west, the south, the north.
Yes, and the sky and the earth, and then the center is what connects us through the fire.
Yeah, and it's an amazing ceremony to see. Amazing. Mm-hmm. How many dancers are in your group?
I have 36 right now, but I'm probably only going to come with a little more than 10.
So how long does it take to learn these dances?
Your whole life.
Your whole life.
I'm still learning. You never know. There's so many. I go step by step, so I can whip out danzantes pretty quickly. But doesn't mean they're going to understand anything. I don't believe in fast learning like that. I believe that you should take your time and respect the tradition, respect the teachers who came before you and their teachers and their teachers. And just to give you an idea, like one of our elders that's probably about in her 40th year just became a capitana. It's not something that you do 10 or 15 or even 20 years. I heard you do 25, 30, 35 years, and then maybe they'll give you a capitan or capitana status. It's not something that, like, I don't want that status, and I'm not trying to race toward it. It's something very serious because we dedicate our lives. And if you have children, like I have in the whole tradition, I wasn't going to put this before my children. I needed to make sure my children are okay. So we say the order is creator, God, yourself, your family, and then your community. And a lot of this work that we do as Aztec dancers is community. So I think it's really important for people to, digest the information, participate, but don't neglect yourself or your family. Don't sacrifice yourself or your family in order to get ahead. These things take time. That's how come it took me 10 years to earn a lot of these things, just after 10 years of walking and then another. So I'm 20 years in the danza now. This is my 21st year, actually.
Your costumes are also incredible. So do they come from Mexico City? Do they come from Mexico City? Or do
I don't make stars. And we don't. Yeah, sometimes they do. Yes. Or they're gifted by elders. Yes. But again, I don't believe in buying stuff. We hand make everything and we earn everything. Our group is different because you'll see my new dancers are all in white. And then they build their colors up. It takes them time. They have to learn a certain amount of dances to earn their chachayotes. They have to earn a certain amount of things to start to fill their regalia. And so as you see dancers pass with time in our group, then you will see them grow and their headdresses grow. But I wouldn't put feathers on somebody like less than amount of
the
years.
Headdresses,
they're called
gold. Yeah, the headdresses are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Does your group also get to learn some Aztec words?
Yes, and songs.
Mexica, Mexica,
Mexica. Yes,
Mexica.
Yes.
But that's good because they're learning more about the culture.
Correct.
More about the culture. Oh, congratulations!
Thank you.
It takes a lot of dedication to do that. Yes.
And it's always an honor to be out with the people during this time for Easton.
And I can't wait to see your dance group again. And you said you'd be on maybe about 3 or 4 times during the festival?
We're in the later part of the afternoon. We're like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock on the top of the hour.
I'm sure we can't miss you, especially with all the feathers and everything that you've got going. And then the loud drumming, I'm sure you, that calls in a lot of attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
They'll be at main stage at 2:45, but get there by 2 so you can catch them for about 15 minutes. And then they move on to Plaza de Luchas at 4. And over at the Show and Shine car exhibition with Chicano Boulevard, they close out the event there, the headliners there with the Chicanos.
Yeah. And the festival is actually taking place on Saturday, May 4th?
Yes, Saturday, May 4th. We open doors at noon and it's over at 6. So yeah, come out. It's a free festival. Plenty of food and we have plenty of restrooms and ADA restrooms.
A lot of diverse activities. And you also have the Plaza de Piñata also.
Like I said, we'll have mainly baile folclórico, Mexicano and Colombian and Bolivian, and also some singers. There's this girl, she sings really well. She does boleros and whatnot. Her name is Maria Mendizabal. So look for, she'll sing a couple of at the piñatas and she'll sing at the music box.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a great day. I know it already. So if people want more information about the festival, do you have a website?
Yes. Yeah. EastEndStreetFest.com.
Okay. And for the Danza Azteca, do you have a website?
Ours is HoustonAztec.com or HoustonAztecDance.com.
Great. And again, the festival is going to take place Saturday, May 4th, Navigation Boulevard on the East End. And get ready to party and dance and enjoy all that great Mexican food and all the spices and get yourself a great t-shirt or some art.
Get there early. We have a parade. We're Milby High School, and they already committed and said they're going to be there. The full band, a cheerleading squad, and also the ROTC from Milby. And we're waiting, hopefully, Austin High School will join us too. But get there like noon and catch the parade. We'll have a lot of people at the parade, a lot of bicycles, all kinds of different styles, like the art car parade, but with bicycles.
Cool. Can kids join in with their bikes?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So thank you all so much for joining me, Lupe and Abuela Mape.
Yes.
Can't wait to see you soon, especially Saturday, May the 4th, over at the East End. And definitely waiting to see the Aztec dances. And of course, I'd like to thank you all as well for joining me for this edition of Spotlight Houston. And if you have any comments, please let me know. If you have any story ideas, please get in touch.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us and helping us spread the word of the East End Street Fest.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gabby, your AI host. Thanks for joining us on Spotlight Houston. We had a fantastic dive into the East End Street Fest and its Cinco de Mayo celebrations. From the delicious food to the vibrant performances, it's clear this event is a highlight for our city. Mark your calendars for this free event on Saturday, May 4th from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the Navigation Esplanade. For more details on this cultural extravaganza, visit www.eastendstreetfest.com. We're here every Sunday to share more stories that bring out the best of Houston. If you enjoyed today's show, follow us on social media, and don't forget to leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback is always welcome, and we love hearing your ideas. Join us next week for another episode that celebrates Houston's energy and spirit. Spotlight Houston is a production of StoryZone Media. See you next time.